Welcome back to Weathering the Storm, a podcast where we strive to weather the storms of life by placing and sustaining an unwavering faith in God. I'm your host, Drew Suttles. I thank you for taking time out of your day, your busy schedule, to spend some time with me and spend some time thinking about spiritual things. I'm excited as we continue our series on Satan's plan of attack. Again, we are in Season 7 of Weathering the Storm, and our theme this year is Weathering the Storm in the Home. And so we think about what Satan wants to do in the home. Of course, through his influence, he wants to wreak havoc. And we've talked about the fact that what he wants to do, number one, is he wants to neutralize the man. If he can take the man out of the equation, the spiritual leader of the home, then he can have his way. That was part one in episode 12. In last week's episode, episode 13, in part two, we talked about the busy schedule. Satan wants you to have a busy schedule, so you won't have time for God. You won't have time to seek first the kingdom because you're filled up with so many different things and different worldly things that are going on that you don't have time for God. That's what he wants. But today, as we come to episode 14 in part 3 of this small series, we want to discuss Satan's plan of attack includes forbidden sexual lust. I know this is a topic that might be difficult to talk about, and maybe if you have young children with you, may not want them to hear some of these things. But I believe that it's important for us to understand, especially as husbands and fathers, as parents, to think about what Satan's up to and not be ignorant of it. We don't need to be ignorant of his device, as Paul said. We need to know what he's about. And there are forbidden sexual lust that can destroy a home. And we're going to talk about those things today. And so, again, this is episode 14 of season 7, Forbidden Sexual Lust. This is what Satan is all about, trying to attack the home. Before we dive into this, I do want to say a word about the Scattered Abroad Network. We appreciate so very much your support, your encouragement, most of all your prayers, as we're striving to use this avenue of a podcast to spread the gospel and to help people. And that, of course, is the purpose of this podcast, to hopefully help you weather the storms of life by looking unto God, looking unto His Word, and getting strength and encouragement. If you'd like to contact us, you can at san@msop.org. This is an opportunity that you can reach out to us with any comments or questions or thoughts. We'd love to be able to collaborate with you and respond to those. You can also find us on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram. And again, just thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you for listening to the network. If you haven't already, subscribe to our master feed. That's where you can find your content every day of the week. And we're just so very grateful for you and ultimately grateful that God is allowing us to do this and that His providential hand has been a part of this network and a part of its growth, and grateful that we can do this to His glory. As we think about Satan's attack for the home, his plan of attack, including forbidden sexual lust, I want us to begin this episode by discussing several passages in the New Testament that emphasize the importance of keeping, if I can say it this way, keeping your sexual desires in check, keeping them where God has intended them to be, because, of course, that is a gift. Sex is a gift from God. But he has given the parameters, he's given the conditions where you can fulfill those desires to the max. But of course, that only happens inside the marriage relationship. So let's think about some passages. The first one is Hebrews 13:4. The writer says, "Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed is undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Now notice that marriage is honorable. This is the honorable relationship. We've talked a lot about marriage this season. And then it says the bed is undefiled. The bed is undefiled. What does this word undefiled mean, and why is that important for our study? The word undefiled here means free from stain or blemish, especially understood as necessary in the eyes of God. You're free from that. So if something is defiled, or adulterated, this is not what God has planned. This is not the purity that God has set forth for marriage. But it says that the marriage bed is undefiled. In other words, that's where you carry out your desires. within the confines of marriage, you and your spouse, and that's it. And we know that because this next phrase says, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. The word fornicators here comes from the Greek word porneia, where of course we get our word pornography. And it's a sexually immoral person, a person who is known for their sexual immorality, a fornicator. You're going beyond the confines of marriage, whether that's before marriage or you're already married and you're going outside of that. That's fornication. And then you have an adulterer, someone who commits adultery, someone who goes, again, outside of the marriage relationship, outside of the bonds of marriage, to have sex with someone who's not their spouse. It says God will judge. In other words, you will not get away with that. God is going to enact vengeance on those who do not honor the marriage relationship and the sanctity of it. And so I want to begin with that passage because it's just a reminder that there are sexual lusts that are forbidden. And to go outside of the marriage relationship to fulfill that is sinful. And it can absolutely wreak havoc and bring a storm in the home. Because if Satan can get in between the husband and wife and bring in an outside source, then it can cause so many problems and it can destroy the home. The next passage is 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4. Notice what Paul says. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Notice that word sanctification is found twice here in the text. Notice also the word honor, kind of going back to what we just discussed there in Hebrews 13:4. But let's think about this. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 4. I want us to think about the language. This is the point of living and walking in purity. The word sanctification, we get the same root word for holiness. It's the idea of being separated unto God for a holy purpose or a holy use. It's this dedication that you have unto God. Notice that this is the will of God. This is what God desires for you, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. The word abstain means to refrain from doing something. And this is a verb in the present tense. That means you keep on abstaining, not just a one-time action. You got to keep on abstaining from sexual immorality, that you can possess your own vessel, you possess your own body in the way that God would have you to possess it. And so 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4 reminds us that it's the will of God that you abstain from sexual immorality. If you don't get anything else out of this episode today, it is God's will that you abstain from sexual immorality, which means if you don't abstain, if you get into sexual immorality and your life is characterized by that, that is forbidden by God. And you're no longer serving God, you're serving Satan. The next text is 1 Corinthians 6, 18. It really connects with what we just discussed about possessing your own vessel or your own body in sanctification and honor. Here's what Paul says to the brethren in Corinth, who of course had a major issue in Corinth with sexual immorality. In fact, there was a word known as Corinthianize, which would describe those who lived in that area because there was just so... It was the Las Vegas of the first century. Just immorality everywhere. I did a paper when I was in preaching school on the city of Corinth, and my mind was blown thinking about what they did and the depravity of that area. There was anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 prostitutes on duty every single day in the city of Corinth. When you look at it on a map, you see how you have the water, and so you had people coming in from the sea, and they were just staying for a few days, and they would go back. And so it was a hotbed for sexual immorality. And yet the Lord's church was there in that area, which is encouraging to us that the Lord's church can still be that beacon of light, even though there's darkness all around it. But Paul says this, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual morality sins against his own body. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 6:18, and it's another command to flee sexual immorality. Have nothing to do with it. So there are sexual lusts that are natural, that you have these desires, these urges, if you will, But God has said, okay, you can carry that out to the fullest within the confines of marriage. Express yourself and enjoy that. God says this is a gift. But if you go outside of the marriage relationship, you go beyond the bed, the marriage bed, then you will be committing sin. That is forbidden. The final passage I want us to consider before we really dive in a little bit further is Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So if you don't think that sexual morality is a big deal, understand that those who are sexually immoral are listed among hell's roll call that will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. So if you're listening to this today and you're weathering the storm of forbidden sexual lust, maybe you're giving in to this. Maybe you've been watching pornography. Maybe you're struggling with going outside of the marriage bond and trying to fulfill it in different ways. Then I hope and pray that you'll repent of that. That you'll admit that, you'll own up to it, and that you'll move on, because sexual temptation and lust is very powerful and very real, and it will take you places you don't want to go and keep you there longer than you want to stay, and it will destroy your marriage, and it will destroy your home. That's why Satan includes this in his plan of attack. Through his influence, he wants your home to be destroyed, and this is one way that he's being very successful in our world today. As we think about the danger, the pain of pornography, being, of course, on the elephant in the room, if you will, when it comes to forbidden sexual lust, it's so popular because of the three A's. Number one is accessibility. Accessibility. If you have a smartphone in your hand, you're one click away from access to who knows how many thousands and probably even millions of videos. It's accessible. It's accessible when you walk in the store. You go to a Books A Million or Barnes & Noble and you look in the back and there you have magazines. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on your TV subscription. Whether you know it or not, it's there. And so that's one of the reasons why it's so popular, is because of accessibility. But number two, because of affordability. Affordability. There's free sites that are available, that you could go and visit. Don't cost you a thing, financially speaking. And then the third A is the word anonymous. You can remain anonymous. Nobody knows about it. You can have this as your pet sin, if you will, and you put it up on a shelf. And whenever you know you're feeling good, or maybe when you're feeling bad, and you feel like giving in to temptation and giving in to sin, you just go and take this pet sin off the shelf. You turn it on, and you, for lack of a better term, you feel this desire, and then you put it back on the shelf, and you go about your life, and you act like nothing's going on. But here's the fact of the matter. You are not doing that in the dark. God sees it, and it will come back to find you out. We find that in the book of Numbers. Be sure your sins will find you out. And the book of Proverbs says that there is a God, an all-seeing eye, that's watching you. He beholds the evil and the good. God sees everything. So you're not doing this in a way where God doesn't see it. He sees it. He knows it. And so you might think you're anonymous. You might think nobody else knows. Maybe not even your spouse or your children or the people that you work with, the people you go to church to. Oh, nobody knows, so it's okay. No, it's not. It's not okay. You're losing your integrity every time you go outside of what God has said is where you express those desires. When you do that, you're losing your integrity. When it comes to pornography, it's so dangerous. I have a book in my library called Behind the Preacher's Door. And one writer writes about this, the damage of it and the pain of it. And he said a lot of different things that really was helpful. And really, you know, I've had discussions with people that have come to the office and say, listen, nobody else knows this, but I'm telling you, this is what I'm going through. I'm struggling. I can't go a day without watching it. I can't go a moment without thinking about it. I see someone and I've got my mind kind of pictures what's going on and what could happen. And in that book, Behind the Preacher's Door, this writer talks about what pornography does to your brain. It rewires your brain. It rewires the way you think. So young people who may be listening to this, if you've never watched it, don't ever watch the first clip. Don't ever watch the first moment of it, because it's going to change the way that you think and the way that you see, the way that you perceive other people. And it will cost you your love life. Because once you watch these fantasies that are created, it's going to make you think that what you have in your marriage, even though this is godly, even though this is exactly what God intended, and even though this is where you can fulfill every desire that you have, it's going to cheapen it. It's going to cheapen love. And what a tragedy that would be. As we think about this and we think about Satan's plan of attack through the avenue of forbidden sexual lust, I want us to close with some practical things. These are three things to keep in mind to help you combat giving into forbidden sexual lust. Three things. Number one, remember who you are. Remember who you are. This goes back to integrity or character. My baseball coach in high school told me, character is what you do when nobody's watching. You know, he used the example of one of my teammates who, you know, didn't tell anybody what he was going to be doing, but he would go and he would run the football bleachers. He didn't do that for show. He didn't think anybody was watching, but one of our coaches watched him and noticed that he was out there busting it, right? He's out there working hard. He didn't do it to be seen. It was his integrity. It was his character. That's what he did. Now, spiritually speaking, what you do in the dark, what you do when nobody's watching, that's who you really are. So you've got to stop and think before you give in to sexual lusts that are forbidden. Remember who you are. There's an example in the Old Testament, and that's of Joseph, Genesis 39 and verse 9. And I believe we brought this out in our last episode, of what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife was trying to entice him. This was a forbidden sexual lust. And Joseph knew that. Joseph knew that he had no right whatsoever to be with Potiphar's wife. But she would come and she would just tempt him over and over and over again. Genesis 39, beginning there at the end of verse 6, says that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. And he said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife." Joseph said, "You don't belong to me. You belong to someone else. This is forbidden." And then he makes this incredible statement. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Now notice, he didn't say that I would sin against you, or that I would sin against Potiphar, or that I would sin against my family, or even that I would sin against my own body. Now, would all that factor in? Of course it would. But his point is, if I do this, I'm sinning against God. Dear friend, if you're listening to this and you're struggling with pornography, you're struggling with forbidden sexual lust, remember who you are. As a Christian, remember that you belong to God. And remember that when you do this and you give into that sin, you're sinning against God. You are slapping God in the face. And you're attacking his holiness because you claim to be his child and yet you're giving in to filth. So what can you do to combat this? Remember who you are. Be a man, be a woman of integrity. Be like Joseph and run away from it. Genesis 39:9. Number two, remember whose you are. Remember whose you are. Number one, you are God's. You belong to him. You are his child. But think about this in the marriage relationship. If you are a married man or you are a married woman, listen to the words of 1 Corinthians 7, 3-5. "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. In other words, be together in the marriage relationship. Make time to have a healthy sexual relationship. That is so important. He's going to tell you why. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. In other words, you are to enjoy this together, and only you two. Then he says, do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. So, don't deprive one another. In other words, there's no reason to have a long time without coming together unless there's consent on both sides and say, listen, you know, tonight I'm going to spend this time in fasting and prayer. In other words, we're going to go on to sleep. We're going to go on to bed. I'm going to spend some time reading from my Bible and praying tonight. I've got this coming up. I've got that coming up. There's times when there's exceptions to this, of course. But then he says this, and come together again. Why? So that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Did you catch that? Why is it important for husbands and wives to have a healthy sexual relationship, a consistent relationship? Because if not, that's going to be a crack in the door for Satan to come through and tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You see, when it comes to the marriage relationship and the marriage bed, that's where you express it. You don't hold anything back. But if you're not coming together with your spouse, then you're in danger of turning to other outlets for that gratification, turning to another source because of your lack of self-control. So what can you do, again, to fight against forbidden sexual lust in the home and weather this storm? Number one, remember who you are. Number two, remember whose you are. You belong to your spouse. She belongs to you. But then number three and finally, remember what Jesus said. This is the most powerful point of this entire episode. When you stop and think about what Jesus said here, it ought to stop you in your tracks. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. Jesus said, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You notice then that this is a heart problem. It's a heart issue. Jesus says, you've heard that it hath been said, you shall not commit adultery. He says, but I'm saying to you, take it to a greater extreme. Why? Because it's that important. It's that serious. The word look here comes from the word blepo. And it is a verb, is a present tense verb, meaning it's a continuous action. It's the idea of longing. It means to perceive with attention, to direct one's gaze towards. This is different from looking for a moment and then realizing, oh, okay, I don't need to look no more. You know what it reminds us of is David. What's the biggest difference between David and Joseph? Joseph, when he saw, he fled. David, when he saw, he asked Bathsheba to come and be with him. There's the idea of looking at a woman to lust for her. That was the purpose. That was the motive for him looking. And so the word to lust for is one word in the Greek language. And this carries the idea of to crave a person sexually. This also is an active verb in the aorist tense. So, you put this together. Jesus says, whoever gazes upon a woman, looks at her, and craves her sexually, has already committed adultery in the heart. You've already had sexual intercourse with someone other than your spouse. Not physically, but in the heart. It's the idea that if you've already gone through it in your mind and in your heart, given the situation, you might go through with it. So Jesus said, here's how you combat that. Here's how you fight against it. You fight against it with everything you've got. It's not saying that you're not going to see people. You're not going to see people of the opposite sex and maybe even find them attractive. But the point is, you don't dwell on that. Why? Because you're married. You've got a spouse. Now, there's an old song from James Bond, "I only have eyes for you." That's the idea. Jesus says this, continuing in verse 29, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it from you. It's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Cast it from you. It's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Jesus says, whatever it takes. If you got to take that streaming service off, okay. If you got to take your computer and put it in your bag at night so you're not going to be tempted, then do it. If you need to cut your phone off, cut it off. When you're traveling on the road, if you need to unplug the TV, unplug the TV. Whatever's going to be tempting you to do that, get rid of it. And it all boils down to the heart issue of giving in to this in the heart, in the mind, and thinking these things that's going to cause your mind to go places you don't want to go because of forbidden sexual lust. Again, I mentioned that this is difficult. I know several, even in the Lord's church, who have come out to the forefront to say this is a battle, this is a struggle. And if this is something that you're battling, this is a storm that you're going through, number one, know that you're not alone. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The latter half of that verse says, "But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also provide a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it or overcome it." You can overcome. You can say no to forbidden sexual lust. You can rise above this. But it's going to take two things. Number one, it's going to take a desire. A desire to be pure. A desire to be holy. A desire to be pleasing to God. But number two, it's going to take discipline. Discipline. The Apostle Paul said, "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection." 1 Corinthians 9:27. That's what it's going to take. Desire and discipline. If you've got those two things, then you can be successful. And you can weather the storm when Satan's plan of attack is to get you through forbidden sexual lust. I hope that what we've talked about today has been helpful. I hope that these passages of Scripture that we've shared can be in your mind. And remember Psalm 119:11. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Hide these verses, hide these words in your heart that you can fight against forbidden sexual lust. Again, I thank you so much for listening. I hope that what we've discussed today will help you. Ultimately, that it will help you to weather the storm to the glory of God. May God bless you.